Good evening. We are in the book of Leviticus, chapter 3. We're dealing with the peace offering. Have you ever made a peace offering? It could have been a meal to your in-laws because you made them mad. You know, and you had the peace offering meal where you had the meal, invite them over, trying to smooth everything over, maybe your boss, maybe somebody else, in an effort to make peace. Well, you get a very, very small definition kind of here of the peace offering, but we're going to take a look at it. We're going to see it here in the book of Leviticus, and we've taken a look at the other offerings. It's interesting that it takes four Gospels for us to see the real beauty and the wonder of Christ. You know, every Gospel looks at the Lord a little bit different way, so we needed four of them to be able to really get a good picture of Jesus. And even John, the beloved, says this. He says in John 21, verse 24, "This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." And he says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." So even though we have the four Gospels, and even though it took the four Gospels for us to get a good look at Jesus, even the entire Bible and even all the books that's ever been written could not contain all that there is about our Savior. Likewise, I believe that it takes these five offerings in Leviticus for us to understand what the Lord has really done for us. We get a real true picture of the depth of His sacrifice, of the depth of His love, and what He actually did. Because as a Christian, we can say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Jesus died for me." Well, stop and think about that. Have you ever watched someone die? The biggest majority of us would say, no. We don't like that stuff. Somebody's going to die. We're going to get out of there. We don't want to be a part of it when it's happening. But if you've ever watched someone die, or if you've watched a grandma or grandpa wither away, or if you watch somebody die of a disease or somebody that you love, it is a life-changing experience, not just for the one who was a Christian in Christ that died, that went home to be with the Lord, but for the one who has to go through it and watch this take place. So for a Christian, we can say, yeah, Christ died for me, and it's just kind of a passing sentence, all run together with everything else. But when you really get the impact of the death, of what He did for us, it's quite a different thing. Now, as we look at this peace offering, it's not exactly what you might think at first, or what you might first think of. It is not specifically the peace of being reunited with God through the blood of Christ, although that surely is there, and it is through that sacrifice and God making peace, us making peace with God through Jesus Christ. It is there. But it is really more tonight, this peace offering is really more about Jesus being our peace. The kind of peace that passes all understanding. You know, that peace that when everything in you wants to freak out, but all of a sudden there's something that just goes over you. Maybe not audible, but it sweeps over you, and all of a sudden you, even though the earth is shaking around you, all of a sudden you go, "I'm okay. I'm all right." And even people around you are going, "Aren't you freaking out about this? You know, your whole world's turned upside down," and you're going, "It has to be the Lord. It has to be God, because I have a peace about this. I have a peace that passes all understanding." It's that peace that you can have on a day-to-day basis that so many times you and I, due to the circumstances and getting our eyes off of the Lord, we lose. But it can come right back to you in worship. All day long, I've been a little stressed over some things. And yet, during worship, God centered me again. You know, with the songs that were done, they were perfect for me. Lance might not have picked them for you guys, but he picked them for me, you know, because it was like, look, what are you worried about? What's your concern? God's either in charge or He's not in charge. There's things that are important or they're not important. If they're important, then they're important to Him. If they're not important to Him, then they shouldn't be important to you. So He's either on the throne or He's not on the throne. So take a deep breath and allow the peace that passes all understanding to guard your heart again. So that's the kind of peace we're talking about. The Apostle Paul speaks of this peace in Ephesians 2, verse 13, through about verse 22. Let me read it to you. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier or the dividing wall. That was Jew and Gentiles that he's speaking of here. But he's made many more than just two groups, one in Christ. Many of us that are sitting here today, we would have never had anything to do with each other if it wasn't for Christ. You know, we probably never had anything in common. But now we embrace each other when we see each other because we have that bond that is Christ. And then he says he abolished in his flesh the enmity which is between the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, and by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and the saints, you are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building fit together is growing into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling of God in the Spirit. In other words, guys, we're all family, whether you like it or not. I don't know about you guys, but you know, this is just such a sweet, sweet fragrance to the Lord. When you take people from different race, different culture, different socioeconomic conditions, and you make them all love each other. What an incredible thing. The world's been working on that for a long, long time, but they can't accomplish it. But in Christ, it just seems to be automatic. When you come to know Christ and you're more Christian than you are this, or you're more Christian than you are that, or more Christian than where you live, or more Christian than what side of the tracks you're on, or more Christian than how much money you make, then all those barriers are kind of just washed away, and you're just brothers and sisters in the Lord. And for some of us, we don't even know what each other does during the day. Well, you guys know what I do. I only work 2 days a week on Wednesday night and Sunday. But I don't know what you guys do. You know, and a lot of times you don't know what each other's doing. You don't even know how many members are in the family, but when you see each other on Wednesday and Sunday, you give each other a big hug. And how you doing? You kind of get to where you start looking for each other's mug, you know? And if you don't see it, you kind of miss each other. You know, I missed you last week. Where were you? It's that peace that God brings. And by the way, guys, it's only available in Him. You can't buy it. You can't get it. It's not available available anywhere except in Christ. Okay, let's take a look at the peace offering tonight in our study, Leviticus 3, verses 1 through 4. Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to offer out of the herd, that would mean the cattle. Remember we talked about the herd basically means the cattle or the oxen, and the flock meant the sheep or the goats or the rams, or whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slay it in the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's son, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood around the altar from the sacrifice of the peace offering. He shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all of the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is on the loins and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Now, in case you're freaking out here, don't. There's much more symbolism in here than just kidneys and fat. You know, God's trying to say much more here. And remember, all of this is a little bit more painting on the canvas, which is Jesus. When we begin to understand that this is all about Jesus, it's just giving us a little more color so that we can understand our Messiah better. So this peace offering is different from the burnt offering only in that just a portion of it was to be offered on the altar, not the entire thing like the burnt offering. Now, I want you to notice the word fat. I kind of made a joke out of that because I wanted it to stick in your mind. Notice that the word fat is mentioned three times in two verses. Fat in the Bible is often represented with bounty and with blessings of the Lord. So, you know, for those of us that are a little portly, praise the Lord, you know. The blessings of God abound in our body. Well, not quite. Let's not take it quite that far. But in the Word of God, when you see the fat or you hear about the fat, often it's talking about the blessings of the Lord. And you will notice also, I want to point out one more thing. It's talking about the choicest of parts, the inward things, the inward parts of the offering. So the choice inward offering, okay? In Genesis 4:4, it says, Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Remember Cain and Abel. Cain's offering was rejected. Abel's offering was accepted. And part of that was the fat or the bounty. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says, Then he said to them, Go and eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And even into the New Testament, in Luke 15:23, it says, And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat, and let us celebrate. So I give you those so you can see God's talking about the bounty. So if we apply this to Jesus Christ, it doesn't take a lot for us to see that it is applying to the bounty and the blessings that you and I have through Jesus Christ. God never wants you and I to live like spiritual paupers. Now, I'm not talking about the house on the hill, the three-car garage, and the BMW in the driveway. That's incidental. Really, it is incidental. God may give you those things, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not really the blessing. The blessing is in Him. And God never intended for you and I to live as spiritual paupers. He doesn't want one Christian to live close to Him, receiving the bounty and eating the fat, while another one's over here starving to death. He wants all of His kids to move in close and get a bite. He wants all of His kids to live in close in that bounty and in that blessing that is Him. And this offering speaks of that. And I think the inward parts indicate that we have the greatest blessing when we dig in deep and when we get to know Him well. You see, Christianity, God put it on the bottom shelf so we can all get saved. It's simple. Salvation is simple. It's on the bottom shelf. It's easy for everything. But by the same token, I think the greatest riches comes from digging. I think the greatest riches comes from digging in a little bit, learning, reading, studying, growing, developing. I believe that God conceals Himself to those who really don't want to know Him. And I believe God reveals Himself to those who really do. So I believe that the inward offering, those inward parts, speaks of that. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to have that sweetness in the Lord. I want to have that fatness in the Lord. There's a lot of things where you got to avoid the fat, but it's a good thing to be fat in the Lord, spiritually, to just be overflowing in the things of God. Wouldn't it be cool if our spiritual life showed on us like fat does? I mean, you look at a guy and go, whoa, man, look at that brother, he's spiritual. I mean, he's really been hanging out with God. Look at him, man. The other guy's skinny as a rail, you go, man, you need to spend a little time with the Lord, brother. You're going to die, you know? But you get the idea. God wants us all to be rich in Him. Verse 5, Then Aaron's sons shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire, and is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. Again, not uncommon in these sacrifices, but worth repeating, and that is, it was a burnt offering. Guys, you know what that means? That speaks of total commitment. How many of us, when we came to know Jesus Christ, we got on the altar, set fire to it, and left it there? We put our bodies on the altar for Jesus Christ and stayed there, let it burn, without getting off. You see, a lot of times we come to know Jesus, we say, Lord, I'm yours, I'm all yours. And then something gets a little tough, and we're going, I got to go bury my dad. Oh, I got to go make some money. Oh, I got to go bed. Well, next weekend, Lord. Or, you know, I'm kind of busy. Well, I got to finish this. Lord, I got to get my degree. Lord, I got to get married. Lord, I got to have kids. Lord, I got to... You know, we kind of get on the altar and then we get off. And then we get on, it gets a little hot and we get off. But I believe Jesus wants us to have that complete and total commitment in His life. And I think that's where the greatest blessing is. When you meet people, and guys, we all have, you meet Christians who are just, man, they're just dead in Christ. I mean, they love the Lord so much that their hearts are just sold out to God. And they live on a different plane. You know, they live on a different level because the things of life, they don't get them down. They have that peace that passes all understanding a lot more than most because they're able to live in that total commitment. Remember Jesus in the garden? At his most heart-wrenching time, he was able to say what? Father, not my will, but yours. Your will be done. That's total commitment. Because he knew that his Father would take care of him. He knew what he was facing, but he had so much faith in his Father that it didn't matter. He had so much faith in God that it didn't really matter what he was facing because he was able to have peace. Because it shows that after that was over with, he got up and went to the cross. He did what he had to do. He received the peace that passes all understanding and given the power and strength to face what he had to face. Notice again that this aroma was pleasing to the Lord. Why is it pleasing to the Lord? Not because it's some piece of meat burning. God's not going, ooh, steak. You know why it's pleasing? Because it represents the sacrifice of his son. You know, if you're a father, you love your sons. You love your sons. When your sons do something that makes you proud, you just, you know, you're like a peacock. You know, it's like, that's my kid. That's my son. This was sweet to Jesus because it was sweet to a father because it represented his son's love for him, his son's dedication to him. And all of that represented their love for us. Verse 6, but if his offering for a sacrifice, a peace offerings to the Lord is from the flock, he shall offer it male or female without defect. If he is going to offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the offering and slay it before the tent of the meeting, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood around the altar. From the sacrifice of peace offerings, he shall bring as an offering by fire to the Lord its fat, the entire fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all of the fat that's on the entrails, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. So here's the second category, if you will. This peace offering was from the herd, and he primarily spends a lot of time about it being a lamb. Notice that the lamb was without defect. Jesus is spoken of as being the perfect lamb slain before the foundation of the world, without spot or wrinkle, the only one that God could accept. In John 1:29, it says, and the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold, what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Guys, why did he call him the Lamb of the world? Just a catchy little Jewish phrase? Something he made up on the spot? Oh, look at the Lamb of God. It goes all the way back here. That takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb that makes peace. The Lamb that takes away sin. The only God that can provide a sacrifice that's good enough that you and I have forgiveness. Revelation 5:11-12 says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Abel's sacrifice was a lamb, acceptable to God. You see, there's only one way of forgiveness. The world wants to think that there's many ways to get to God, but the Bible says there's only one, and that's through Jesus. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for the Father and I are one. The only way to the Father is through the Son. There's only one currency that God would accept. You see, man sinned and separated himself from God because of that sin. He said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We said, and we did it anyway, and that separated us from God, and man began to die. That put a great chasm between us and the Lord. Therefore, that needed to be paid for. But it couldn't be paid for by anyone. It had to be paid for by a special lamb that was without spot or wrinkle. It had to be a currency that God would accept, and God's currency was very strict. And not one man qualified. Only God could provide the sacrifice, so he provided himself. when Abraham's getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And Isaac turned around and says, where's the sacrifice? And he says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. If you look at the original language, it's very interesting the way it's phrased. He meant God would provide himself. Not that God himself will supply one. He didn't say it that way. That's not the way it's phrased. He said God will provide himself as a sacrifice. And he did just that. I can't emphasize enough that it is on Jesus that we have our peace. Not just peace with God, but even peace in this world. Guys, we're not going to have it any other way. You're not going to have it separate from God. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You ever been stressed by something? Sure you have. You ever been stressed to the point we couldn't sleep? We couldn't eat? And you're just sitting there going, what am I doing? I'm a Christian. You know, I should be able to give this to God and leave this alone. And you do for about 3 seconds. And then you're back. And then you pray again and you do it for 5 seconds and then you're back. And then you do it for 2 seconds and then you're back. Aren't you glad you have something to go back to? Because the world has nobody to go back to. They have nobody to get those 3 seconds from. They have nobody to get those 5 seconds from. They have nobody to get the hour from, to get the 2 hours. Because you know what? When we keep going back, eventually he gives us an overwhelming peace. It's not available to the world. They got to work it out some other way. Once again, we see the total commitment. Look at verse 11. Then the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire to the Lord. Interesting that food is mentioned here in this offering of peace. God must have known Christians would really like to eat. You know, potlucks, fellowship, even communion is a table, isn't it? Song of Solomon 2:4 says, he has brought me to his banqueting hall, and his banner over me is love. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Guys, if you stop and think about communion, even that's our place of peace. Everybody else has got to go pay $50 an hour, $100 an hour, sit on a psychologist's couch, and all you and I do have to do is take communion. Right? Isn't that what communion is? It's just a washing. You go in and you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. If there's anything I've done this week that's dishonored you and I've gotten my eyes off of you, I ask you to forgive me. And he goes, done. We take communion saying, Lord, I love you. I really do love you. And I failed you. I know I have, but I love you and I want a fresh start. And he goes, it's done. Fresh start. God always gives you a fresh start. So he's provided that communion table for us. We'll close with the verses 12 through 17. Moreover, if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on its head and slay it before the tent of meeting. Excuse me. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood around the altar, and from it he shall present his offering as an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that's on the entrails. Two kidneys, the fats, it's on them. It's on the loins and the lobe of the liver, and he shall remove the kidneys. The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. All fat is the Lord's. It is a perpetual state or statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. So here we see the final aspect of the peace offering, and this time it's with the goat. You guys have heard of the scapegoat, right? I mean, even today, people use that term. You know, I'm in trouble at work and I didn't do anything, but I'm just the scapegoat. I didn't really do anything, but they got to blame it on somebody. I'm just the scapegoat. I'm the scapegoat in my family. It's still a term that is used. And basically what would happen in the Old Testament here is that they would lay their hands upon the goat And basically, the priest would transfer the sins of the individual and sometimes even the sins of the nation of Israel upon the goat. And then they would set the goat free, and the goat would run away, symbolic of our sins being transferred to Jesus and Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. So here we see this goat in this last aspect of the peace offering. I want to read something to you out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. It says, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who have been sanctified. Man, that's peace, guys. Jesus Christ, it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't something plan B. It wasn't something that God came up with because the Old Testament laws didn't work. From the foundation of the world, God had planned to give his life for man. And at the appointed time, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And guys, it is through Jesus that you and I are reconciled. That's our peace. So the first thing we have to do is we have to be reconciled with God and have peace with God. So that's what's called being born again. That's why the world is in such a mess. You ever felt, I felt like before I got saved, I never fit anywhere. Do you ever feel like that? I never fit anywhere. I used to think I was born out of time. You know, I used to think, well, if I was born 50 years sooner, maybe I would have fit. And maybe if I was born 50 years later, I would have fit. But you know what? All that was me trying to figure out where I did fit. When I became a Christian, I realized why I didn't fit. Because we weren't made to fit in this world. Not without God. And once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you make restitution with Him, all of a sudden it's like that big easy chair at home that you got all broke in for your bottom. You just go, this is where I belonged all the time. This is what I was created for. This is why God made me. So the first step is reconciliation with God. We've got to make that step. Then you can have peace with yourself and with the world. Because I don't know about you guys, but once I got saved, I had some apologies to make. I had to go around to some people I'd hurt and offended and say, you know, I'm really sorry. I was a real jerk. I've since come to know Jesus. I have a little bit different standard in my life. And I realize what I said to you or what I did to you was wrong. And I'm sorry. And Paul tells us to live as much as possible at peace with all men. He knows we can't live at peace with everyone, but we're supposed to as much as possible to live at peace with all men. So at the close of this service, which is in just a couple of minutes, if you don't know the Lord, I'm going to give you a chance to make reconciliation with Him. That's the first step before you're going to be able to have the peace that passes all understanding. But I'd like to remind you also, he makes two stipulations there to say not eat, don't eat the fat, don't eat the blood, he told the Hebrews. Well, we know that the life is in the blood, and we were told in Leviticus not to eat the blood because of the life that's represented there. So we already have that establishment from the Lord. But the fat's the Lord's. Why? Again, because you're not going to have the fat without Him. It really is all His. All the goodness in life comes from the Lord. All the light that's really in the world that is of any use is of God. So what I'm trying to say, guys, is God wants you to live in the bounty that is Him. And you're going to find that it is in direct proportion It is in direct proportion to how close you set to the Lord. The closer you set to Him, the more overwhelmed you're going to be with His goodness. In fact, I've experienced it. There's going to be times you're going to have to say, Lord, stop. I've got too much. You've given me too much. You're blessing me too much. I have more than I need. You almost feel like a spoiled child because God loves you so much. He pours so much on you. And I believe that that's not just available for one or two Christians. I believe that's available for any son or daughter of His that wants to set up close to Him. Anybody that wants to honor Him and set close to Him, God's just going to pour out His goodness. It's just like it oozes out of Him. So if you sit close enough, you're going to get oozed on. But if you sit really far away, somebody else is going to get oozed on, and you're just going to get the fumes. And so in our walks, we need to sit as close as we possibly can. For you young folks that are struggling, and I shouldn't say young folks struggling with sin. Everyone struggles with sin. But there seems to be those teenage years where it just permeates out of your skin, you know, the lust and the issues and the things you're struggling with. You know, again, I just want to encourage you. It doesn't matter how young you are. Just sit close to God. He's not going to take anything away from you. You're not going to miss anything. You know, cool, uncool, what the heck does that mean? Who's cool? Not you. Now, I don't mean that offensively, but think about it. Just about the time you think you're cool, there's somebody cooler who thinks you're not cool. So you're never cool, are you? No matter how much you try, no matter how much you do, no matter how much you buy the clothes, no matter how much you get the walk down, no matter how good you look, you're still going to lose because gravity's going to make you old and wrinkled like the rest of us. So you're not going to win. So God's not going to deprive you of anything. He's probably going to give you better friends. When you snuggle up close to Him, He's probably going to give you better friends that'll be around in 20 years because they love you for who you are. You're going to find out who you really are. Did you ever notice that when you went through the teenage years, a lot of your friends disappeared because they didn't really know who you were? When I became a Christian, I lost a lot of my friends because they didn't really even know who I was. Instead of being excited for me that I'd found out who I was, and like, oh, you're a Christian, huh? They just kind of disappear. So I guess maybe not so much young and old alike. God's not going to rip you off. You're not going to lose anything by snuggling up close to Him. In fact, if anything, you're going to have an abundance of the peace of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this evening in Jesus' name. We're so grateful for the richness of Your Word. And Lord, even a book like Leviticus dealing with the offerings, it can be so beautiful, Lord. It can be so wonderful as we see Jesus in the middle of all of it. Father, if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know You, I pray that You'd touch their heart. First of all, they need to make reconciliation with You, and there's only one path. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus, the currency that God can accept. Lord, for the world to believe that there's many paths that lead to heaven, it's a nice story, but it's just a fairy tale because You've said there's only one. So if there's anybody here tonight, you've never given your life to Christ, I'd be honored to pray with you if you'd like to do that this evening. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor John, that's what I want. I want to have reconciliation with God. I want to have peace with God. And I know I need that through His Son. And the only way I can know that is if you raise your hand. If you're here tonight and you say, that's what you want, would you raise your hand so I could pray with you? Don't be embarrassed because God's not embarrassed of you. Don't be ashamed because He's not ashamed of you. And don't worry about a person sitting next to you because they're not going to have to answer for your life. You're going to have to answer for your life. Anyone that has any doubts that would like to raise their hand to receive Christ tonight. My next prayer. Maybe you've given your life to Christ, but you just feel the Lord asking you to snuggle in a little closer. Maybe there's been a little fear there. Maybe you're afraid of what your friends think or whatever it might be, but you know God has been tapping on your heart tonight to say, I love you and I want you closer to me. I want to bless you more. I want to be able to take away fears and doubts. And the only way I can do that is if you get to know me and snuggle up closer. If that's your heart and if you feel specifically that God said that to you tonight, I'd love to pray with you if you'd raise your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Yes, I see your hand. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. And you're so sweet to us. You're so gentle to us. Even when you convict us, you do it in such a sweet way that we can be brought to tears because of your love and your mercy. Lord, we know you don't condemn us, but we know you desire great things for us. And the only limitation in our walk, Lord, is us, not you. So, Father, may we not limit you. May we be 100% totally and completely and freely yours. And, Lord, may you give us the peace that passes all understanding. And may we live in the bounty that is yours. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.